Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on a Wednesday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. And remember, you can always listen on the 101.3 ESPN app and on Alexa. So if you just tell Alexa to stream WCPV or stream 101.3, then you can get us on your Alexa as well, your Amazon Echo. Coming up on today's show, we do go up until 6:30. Short show as we got NBA action between the Cavaliers and Raptors. Reminder, on Friday, we are broadcasting The Huddle live from Farnham Ale and Lager in South Burlington. You can come hang out with us. Max Sugar Shack will be there, and it's all pet friendly. So no Champlain Valley Game Night Thursday, Friday, because we got Sweet 16 action, but we will have The Huddle both days, and Friday we will be out at Farnham Ale and Lager in South Burlington. As for what's coming up on the show today, we'll react to what Jeff Shulman, the AD of UVM, had to say in The Huddle. If you missed that full interview, you can check it out online. Maggie DeMasi is going to stop by in about 7 minutes right now. An unbelievable story of kind of the first family of hockey here in the Burlington area. But I have to say this, and I need your help. 802-655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line. I need a little bit of therapy here. A little bit of therapy from our listeners. So I got a text yesterday from a buddy of mine who I played college baseball with, and we're good friends, and we talk regularly. But, you know, he's not one of the guys that I grew up with. He was, you know, I didn't know him until we got to college, and we only played together for 2 years at college, and we've remained good friends, and that's great. And we talk regularly, and I started thinking to myself yesterday, this guy who I haven't seen in a few years now, I haven't seen him in probably 3 years, and this guy who I didn't grow up with, and who I only played with at school for 2 years, this guy texts me regularly. But some of the people that I consider my best friends, some of the people that I grew up with, people that I went to college with and am in the same profession as, I don't hear from that often. And I don't, you know, it's not a sob story. It's not, hey, Brady's got no friends. It's not that. It's just I have a very difficult time, like, realizing that as you get older, you evidently lose contact with people. And I want to know, I'm 28. I want to know just what is this? Like, do I just need to kind of get over that? And a lot of you people that are younger than me are going to experience this. You people that are my age are starting to kind of weed out your friend list probably from the, you know, we all had 1,000 friends on Facebook, and now you're probably down to about 7 that you really talk to. And if you're older than me, you've got perspective and said, look, hey, I cut my friends and I know who my true friends are, and I'm down to 2 at this point. Because I think I live in a very different world than a lot of the people that I don't hear from as much as I would like to. I am constantly on my phone. If someone asks me, what's the downfall of your job? Like, what's the one, is there anything you don't like about being a sports radio host? Well, there's nothing that I don't like. But the worst part is that I am literally attached to my phone all the time. I'm checking scores. I'm checking social media. I'm working with guests. We're trying to firm up times. Arnie and Rich and I are going back and forth. Sales, advertising, always attached to my phone. And again, I love what I do, so it's not that big a deal, but I am on my phone all the time. I look at it and say, how hard is it to send, you know, a text message to somebody? How hard is it to reach out for 10 minutes or 10 seconds even to send one lousy text once a week to somebody? And it's just, in my mind, it's so easy because I'm always on my phone. Not everybody is like that. Some people, you know, have a wife and kids that they're going home to. Some people work different hours than I do, and there, or some people have jobs where they can't be on their phone, so they're not able to respond. And then when they get home at 10 o'clock at night, they don't want to respond. So it's always bothered me, this idea that, oh, as you get older, you just lose touch with people. I always have rebelled against that because I'm like, it's not that hard, especially now in social media. So it just got me thinking yesterday that this guy who I do consider him a good friend, but I didn't grow up with him. It's like, it's so easy for him to reach out, but why is it not easy for others? And I'm just thinking, you know what? Maybe I just need to get to the point where it's like, it's not ever going to be like it was when we were 17, or it's not ever going to be like it was when we were 21. If you have an opinion on that, 802-655-6672. Again, it's not a, let's see, Beth, which is Arnie's wife, she goes, Brady, less is more. So I guess she's telling me, Brady, get over it. It's okay. Not talking to as many people, not having as big a circle as you once had is okay. It's always frustrated me, this notion where people say, as you get older, you lose touch. Because I don't think that I lose touch, but again, I'm addicted to my phone because I kind of have to be. So I just thought that was interesting. If you want to get in on that, you know, on social convention as you get older, 802-655-6672. If you missed our talk with Jeff Shulman, UVM Athletic Director, in hour one of the huddle, it was very, very interesting from a lot of different ways. We got some phone calls coming in too, and intern Nathan diligently on that. So we'll get to those in a second also. If you missed the talk with Jeff Shulman, you can find it online. But basically, there was three main tenets that the UVM athletic director talked about. Jeff Shulman talking about John Becker and his future as the head coach of the UVM men's basketball program.
You know, John is a very marketable coach, and we understand that. And but we've also worked really hard to make it this position one that he really feels good about. He's done an incredible job. You know, our program is as healthy as it could possibly be, and we'd love to see him continue as the leader of our program. But you know, I'm not naive about what else is out there and the fact that John is on many, many schools' lists.
So it sounds to me that Jeff Shulman knows that this job is going to, that this job is a good job. The current job at Vermont is a good job. Winning program, tradition, history, Tom Brennan around the program, good players, good recruits, good team coming back, new facility hopefully coming in very soon, which we'll get to in a moment. But it almost sounds like he's resigned to knowing that John Becker at least is going to have suitors and that they may not be able to compete. That does not mean that John Becker is leaving. And I, for one, have started to buy into the idea that John Becker is going to stay in Burlington. And the reason why I have done that is because I look at it and say, he has fought for this new arena. He had a message for the fan base with us a week and a half ago in which he said, our fan base is spoiled because they don't realize basically what we have accomplished given our more limited resources in terms of facilities and other programs. If you were on your way out the door, wouldn't you just say, we've got the best fans and they're awesome? Wouldn't you? You would feel no need to throw a parting shot if you were on your way out. It's like he's trying to plead with the fan base, hey, understand what we've got here and be appreciative of it. So I am more trending in the position that he's going to be in Burlington next season than otherwise. On the new facilities, Jeff Shulman talked about his plan and where we're at right now for a new basketball arena and a renovated Gutterson Fieldhouse.
Our ultimate goal is to have final approval of this project from our trustees by the fall, bid the job, and put a shovel in the ground by March of next year, so just about a year from now. It's probably about a two-year construction project, so we're hoping to be up and running in the 2020-2021 academic year.
That's a huge deal because it's been a 20-plus year battle to get new facilities on the campus at the University of Vermont. And now, if we're talking about being able to play in three seasons from now at new facilities, that means there's current high school players that could enjoy those facilities, and that instantly is a recruiting tool. And I'm sure John Becker, Kevin Sneddon, and Jim Plumer and Chris Day, who are, you know, men and women's hockey and basketball coaches, have been doing that. This is the time to get those kids invested in the recruiting efforts. Look, you're going to enjoy this facility by the time you are a junior, by the time you are a sophomore. So that is a big deal. Also talked about UVM hockey. Again, full interview is available online. Maggie DeMasi is coming up here momentarily. Well, let's go quickly out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. We've got Brett on the phone line. Brett, am I a loser who has no friends, or can I expect this to continue as I get older because it's just natural?
I don't think you're a loser, man. I am just in my time. I'm about to graduate college, and even in that four-year process, I feel like you begin to gauge who's going to be in your life for reasons aside from work and for school and stuff. And I think that process begins much earlier than people think. Like, yeah. I'm about to be 22 years old, and there's already people that I, you know, there's already burned bridges. There's already the people I don't respond to the text messages from. And I think what happens is this weird combination of people that you talk to out of necessity, like the people who you think could advance yourself, whether in life or in your career. And then you have the type of people who you keep around because you enjoy their company. And I don't know, I think having that combination of people around you makes you question who's in your life for what.
Brett, I appreciate the call on the Town Fair Tire or on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Very mature for about to be 22. I wish I sounded like I had my life together like that at 21. And again, it's just different for me, maybe because I'm in a sociable, very, very sociable job. I consider myself a sociable person, so I like talking to people. I like reaching out to people. I enjoy hearing from people. And again, also because I'm attached to my phone, it just feels easy for me to not lose touch. But it evidently isn't that way for everybody, and I think I just need to start coming to grips with that. All right, let's go out to the phone line again because we've got our guest here. And I've learned a few things in my time in Burlington. A few things have become readily apparent to me, that there are three first families of the Burlington sports scene. One is the Hockenberries. Two is the Siplickies when we talk about basketball. And in hockey, it is all about the DeMossies. We've had Lou DeMossi on the show before, former All-American player, national champion at Norwich. Remember his dad, the former head coach at St. Mike's. Well, there's other DeMossies, and they're all doing big things. So now we talk to Maggie DeMossi, who is a great player in her own right at Northeastern University. She's played professionally before. She is a St. Michael's men's hockey team assistant coach and also the women's hockey coach, the assistant at Norwich University, where she just won a national championship on Saturday. So, Maggie DeMossi, thank you for being with us. That's quite a resume, huh?
Hi, Brady. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's kind of work from the front to the back here. You just won a national championship on the coaching staff at Norwich. Simply put, what was that like for you last Saturday at Kreitzberg Arena?
Yeah, I mean, Mark Balding and Molly Fitzpatrick and John, the two assistants and the head coach, really opened up arms to me and had me there from day one, and the girls were amazing. I mean, you really just can't look at Norwich in a different light and think, you know, it's just such an amazing school, such an amazing hockey rink, and the staff is amazing. The girls really, they were the ones that played that game. I mean, we can give them all the tools for the toolbox, but at the end of the day, they're going out there and they're playing. And I mean, if it wasn't for the girls, they wouldn't have done it. And they did it in such a high class arena, and they just went out there and killed it. And you know, being on the bench with Mark and Molly and John was just amazing. Only having one loss all year, and really just day in and day out, the girls were working hard and having fun. And at the end of the day, it was just, you know, one of the goals of all the coaching staff and the girls, and we went out that game day and just did it.
You know, I don't know if you know this, but our listeners do. I spent 1 year working at Norwich, so I know Kreitzberg Arena very, very well. And you mentioned the top-notch facility down in Northfield. Division III never gets the credit that it should. And you played Division I. You've played professionally. You've seen some of the best facilities in the country. What is it like to have a facility that good at a D3 program?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, we went down there all the time. You know, my eldest brother, Louis, which you said, played at Norwich. So we got to see that barn really rocking. And just the rank in itself is the best one in Vermont in D3 and honestly top in Division I. Any of the ranks I played in, I mean, no one really compares to Kreitzberg Arena between the staff again and just the rank altogether. You really just can't compete with it.
I have to ask you this. As I said, you were an assistant coach also on the men's team at St. Michael's. What was the breakdown in your time like? I mean, you couldn't be in every game for both programs, so how did you divvy up the time?
Yeah, I mean, I really have to thank Damian DeJulian, the head coach, and Danielle, the assistant coach. They stuck their neck out for me, and they offered me one of the assistants back a year and a half ago. And at the time, you know, it's kind of, you think about it and you think about, you know, female working with the men's staff and what that's going to look like. But it worked out really well. They were more than appreciative for when I could show up, which we shot for twice a week, and then any games, because last year I was still playing in the CWHL. And, you know, so I would make anything I could, and the guys were amazing. They were so supportive of me playing at that time and also, you know, being at whatever I could. But you know, it was whatever I could make, and any way I could help out, I could. And that's also working at St. Michael's College, being an RD, and anything they need on the campus side as well.
I think I know that there's a difference in the way that women's teams are coached versus men's teams are coached, but how different is it on a day-to-day basis for you to switch between coaching women and men?
You know, it's interesting. It's pretty similar. Guys are just a little bit different. They're more clear-cut, and you can really scream at them and yell at them and give it to them. But girls, you know, it's also about that compassion, in also having just played and been a player. I kind of understood the girls more on a same level than like a coaching level. So, but it was very similar. I mean, they're all athletes trying to get to the same goal. And at the end of the day, anytime a coach is talking to them, they're very respectful and they're just happy to get the help.
Maggie DeMasi, assistant women's coach at Norwich, just won a national title. Also assistant men's coach at St. Mike's, and with us here on Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. So you work at St. Michael's College on the resident life side of things, as you said. You've played professionally. Is coaching the ultimate goal for you? Would you like that to be a full-time career, or is it just a side hobby that you're passionate about?
Yeah, I mean, as we talked about a little bit before, my dad created the program here at St. Michael's College back probably 30 years ago. He coached for 25 years. And then now fast forward, after all five of us played hockey, various ranks at, three at St. Michael's, one at Norwich, and myself at Northeastern. Now fast forward, we're all done playing. We have four out of the five of us coaching in the family, whether that's at a high school level or at a collegiate level. And I think, you know, just growing up, being able to watch my dad on the bench and watch my mom just support us in any way possible, I think we've all just got the coaching blood in us. And I think, you know, if you can't play anymore, you might as well coach, right?
I mean, yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. I thought I was going to be a college coach. I coached college baseball for 3.5 years. And really, when I was at a point where I was, like, young enough to really, really connect with the players, I was like, this is great.
Being able to work with the girls, the Norwich girls, this year was just really special to me. Being able to see how much they love the game still and how much they're willing to put in, the effort they're willing to put in and day out just to get there. And then to win a national championship and really just to think about all the families and everything they put in. It's really just, for me, it's about giving back right now. It's not about, you know, thankfully we won a national championship, but even if we didn't, you know, day in and day out, it's about the players and developing the players on and off the ice and how we can make them the best athletes and student athletes they can be.
As you talked about playing professionally, you did that for a few years, playing in the Canadian Women's Hockey League. You played for a team in Boston, which in the Canadian Women's Hockey League kind of confuses me. But nonetheless, is the professional career something that you're done with, something that's on hold? Would you go back to it? Kind of take me through those dynamics.
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough after Northeastern to head over to Germany for a little bit and play there. But due to an injury, I had to come back. And then that stuck me in the office life, which was great and fabulous. But then the CWHL gave me an opportunity to play in Boston. And that's just a really amazing, you know, amazing industry. And we would fly everywhere, and that was great. But I played with Boston for 2 years, and then this year I got traded to Montreal. And due to the time commitment and having to drive up there 3-4 times a week, it just wasn't really realistic. So I kind of reflected and I decided, you know, I had a great run and it was a lot of fun. And as much as I would love to play every single day, sometimes you kind of know when you got to hang up the skate. So unfortunately, I'm all done, but that just means more opportunity to give back to the players now and help out coaching in any way possible.
Maggie DeMasi with us here, Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Hockey is so interesting when it comes to your high school years. And you played at Burlington for a couple of years. You played at Rice. You played in the prep school circuit. What was your high school experience like? Because you see that a lot where people have kind of broken high school experiences trying to chase that dream.
Yeah, so I started out at BHS as a Seahorse for 2 years, and that was just an amazing experience getting to play for your hometown high school. You know, I watched all of my siblings, all four of them, play and put on the BHS jersey, so that was great to me. And then I actually got the opportunity to go to Lawrence Academy and play there for a couple years, and that was great. I mean, I'm so thankful for that experience. And then I went to Northwood, which was great. I graduated from there, and I was in this tricky situation where I actually committed to Northeastern at such a young age that I had this open year. Walter O'Brien and Becky reached out, the head of Rice Prep reached out to me and you know, gave the idea of having a prep league at Rice High School. And, you know, Rich Tarrant was a big part of that. And we kind of jumped at the idea and we started the Rice Knights Prep program. And, you know, that then prepared me for Northeastern. So really it was a little bit broken, as like you go to so many different schools, but I wouldn't be where I am without having all those experiences, and so thankful for all of them.
What was the decision about to go to Northeastern? I'm always fascinated in why athletes choose their colleges. What attracted you to Northeastern?
So I was fortunate enough to get quite a bit of scholarship offers, but for some reason Northeastern just jumped out to me. I loved the idea. They have this great co-op program which provides you with an internship in school, and you know, I looked at UVM and I looked at BC and BU, and at the end of the day I just loved the dynamic of the school, and I liked the girls on the team. The coaching staff was great, and you know, being able to play for a bean pot too was always on my, you know, goal list, and I got to do that. So at the end of the day, I love the school and I love the people, so I said, let's do it.
And you won a couple of bean pots, too. I think you won two of them back in 2012 and in 2013. Now, if I'm remembering correct, now we're very much in tune with the U.S. women's hockey team because we've been talking a lot about Amanda Pelkey and the gold medal that she was able to win. You played with one of those team members, too, at Northeastern, right? Was Kendall Coyne on your team at Northeastern?
Yeah, so I played with Kendall Coyne, and then you know, Amanda Pelkey came and dropped the puck at Norwich, and I think I can speak on behalf of all of the Vermont Hockey Association and anyone who's a hockey player in Vermont when I say we are so, so proud of her. I mean, the U.S. program really showed a lot of adversity, and they really stepped up to the plate when they needed to do. And, you know, between her and Kendall Coyne, and I also played with probably, you know, half the team out there between the CWHL and just in college. And all those girls are just a truly inspiring group for young girls. And, you know, Amanda, what she's doing for Vermont is just outstanding.
Maggie Namasi, the resume is too long to go through all of it again, but former pro hockey player, standout at Northeastern, Burlington native, and assistant women's hockey coach at Norwich and at St. Mike's. And Maggie, we appreciate the time. Continued success. Congratulations on the title, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you joining us as well. That was Maggie Namasi. If you missed any of that interview, if you missed any of the show, Champlain Valley Game Night or The Huddle, you can find it online at 1013ESPN.com. That's a good story. You talk about someone doing a lot of different things, coaching both men and women at the highest level of Division III hockey, at the Division II level on the men's side as well. It's very, very impressive. So very, very cool there. Again, that does it for us. NBA basketball is next. The Cleveland Cavaliers hosting the Toronto Raptors. We've got the pregame show starting for you in 5 minutes, and the tip-off is 7 o'clock over on 960 The Zone. It's Bruins at Blues. So Bruins in St. Louis, 7:30, the coverage starts. Remember to visit ChamplainValleyAuction.com, up to 75% in savings on all kinds of great excursions. How about a $50 Bluebird Barbecue gift card, starting with bidding at just $20? How about all-day golfing, Stowe Country Club, $140 value, starting at just $60? Those are the kind of deals you can get. We'll see you tomorrow. It's 101.3 ESPN.